can tell this place is full of believers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we do love you. We honor you. We honor your word. We thank you for Jesus, your son. We've received him. And anyone here who hasn't will receive him today. Make him the Lord of their lives. And we love you, Father. We're so grateful for every blessing. We're so thankful we've been delivered from the curse and that the blessing of Abraham is ours. Yes. We're healed. We're prosperous. We're blessed in every way. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we're a grateful people. Thank you, Lord, for revealing how to lay hold of all the things that you've prepared for us today. You've prepared great and mighty things. And all we have to do is receive them. And we're grateful and we set ourselves to leave nothing undone to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, we're going to have faith class today. Bless the Lord. And we're going to talk about this, and this is a key to faith. The message title is Faith Takes It. Faith doesn't just leave something on the table and hope it comes to pass. No, faith finds the Word of God that gives it to you, and then it takes it. Well, you say, then what I want is just impossible in the natural. Well, faith doesn't know impossible. All things are what? Possible to those who to him who believes. Hallelujah. To he who believes. And so faith takes it. If you can find it in the Word, you can take it. And all kind of good things and everything in the blessing, prosperity, healing, soundness in every area of life. Is promised to us. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And we take it. Well, some people have been offended at the faith message because it takes it. But if God gives it, I can take it. Amen. Glory to God. And besides, it doesn't matter. They'll get it one of these days. And then they'll take it. Hallelujah. So, The word that we're going to talk about this week is faith takes it and patience keeps it. It takes patience and faith to inherit the promises. Isn't that what the Word says? So that's what we're going to talk about. We've inherited, most of you are already walking in it, but we can all walk in it more. We can all increase our faith according to what we do and how we act and what we say. It's not just what we believe or just what we read. It's what we believe in our heart and say with our mouth. And that's where most people miss it, that are missing it. They don't say it. When trouble comes, when you can't pay your bills, when your body's sick, you don't know what to do to get it healthy again, you want to just roll up my ball and sit in the corner. But you can't do that. No, faith gets up. I'm a believer. Faith stands up on the inside in my spirit, man, and faith takes the answer that I'm looking for. If it's healing, faith takes it, goes to the Word of God, puts it in our eyes, in our ears, gets it down in our heart. So we take it then with our mouth. So we're going to just talk about taking it. Taking it what? What's it? Anything you need good. Anything you can find in the Word, which is everything good. All the blessing. The blessing includes everything good. Everything. It would be your food, your groceries, your shelter, your automobile, your whatever you need. If you need an airplane, it'd be your airplane. You need a rocket? Well, the Lord will bring it to pass one way or the other. So far, airplanes have been as far as we've gone. Rockets are just so fast you don't get to relax. So it's all right. So faith, let's look at Hebrews 12:12. Glory to God. I love the Word. Ken and I, as Brother Hagin used to say, were so poor we couldn't pay attention when we first heard faith. That's what he used to say, and that's about where we were. We were doing well to just pay the rent. All right, Hebrews 12:12 says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down." So that means we need to step up. You know, you just can't sit around and expect your faith to go to work. You got to do what it takes. You got to get the word in your eyes, in your ears, get it in your heart, and you have to say it out your mouth. You have to say what you want to come to pass. If you're in debt, you want to get out of debt, you don't talk debt, you talk out of debt. If you're sick and you want to be healed, you don't talk sickness and disease. Now, the natural thing in life is to talk the problem. And the natural thing is to be negative. But we are not negative. Why would we be negative when God's given us all things to enjoy? Yeah. So we're positive, and we don't talk negative, and we don't let words come out our mouth that work against us. You say, well, I just can't help. You can help it. It's hard for everybody sometimes, most everybody, I'd say, because you're in a habit, if you'll just think about it, the world has trained you to be negative. The world is negative. The world doesn't have the promises to stand on. They can have it, but they haven't gotten it. So they're totally in the natural. So the things we've been raised to say and hear, for the most part, unless you were raised in a faith home, which I wasn't, my parents didn't know about faith, unless you were raised by faith, and then if you were, you're blessed, because that's a good thing. All you young people that have been raised under the faith umbrella, and sometimes it gets on your nerves because you got to walk this straight line. You can't be like the other kids. You can't go be wild and drink alcohol and do drugs because your parents believe that you have to obey the word of God. That's one of the greatest things that ever happened to you. And probably if you've been there long enough, you figured it out by now. The other things are part of the curse. The disobedient things are under the curse. And that curse brings death, sickness, problems, accidents, calamities. But the blessing is all good. Amen. It brings everything good. It drives out the curse. Ken and I were under the curse of debt. I told him he must have borrowed money on his tricycle. I mean, when I married him, I married his notes. He had notes. He had debts. We had nothing. I had nothing. He had nothing. And just shortly after that, after we were married, we found out about the word, and we got born again. Then it was a little while before we found out about the word of faith. We were still in debt. We still needed things when we, even though we'd been born again, when we heard the word of faith, we were still in need of a lot of things. We didn't have a good car. We didn't have this. We didn't have anything. But we were already headed into the ministry. We were in the ministry. We just weren't going yet. We were just moving out, but hadn't gotten anywhere much. And so when we got born again, shortly after that, we got filled with the Spirit. And if you're born again and you're not filled with the Spirit, it's a hard struggle. Because you're not made to be spiritless. You are born again to be filled with God's Spirit. Think about God coming and living on the inside of you, to talk to you, to tell you what to do, to give you an inward witness. Don't go over there today. And then it comes, find out there were terrible things happening in that place. So many people at 9/11, when the enemy attacked New York City, we got letters from partners and people. And one person said, well, the Lord just told me not to go to work that day. Another person had something in the family that came up and they had to do. And people were kept out of that place that worked in the tower. Supernaturally, and many of them wrote us and told us about it. And that's the way we want to live. We don't have anything to fear if we're born again and filled with the Spirit and we know the Word of God and we're listening. You still have to listen. Hallelujah. I wish I had the little paper with me that of all the reasons why many of our partners and people did not go to work that day, but it was quite interesting. All different kind of things came up that they had to do, that they had to do. Some of them were totally unplanned, but they did not go to work in downtown New York that day. See, that's the way God wants us to be. He wants us to be protected. We live in a crazy, mixed-up world, but if we're hearing from heaven, we'll be at the right place at the right time and not at the wrong place at the wrong time. So it's vital. It's not really just a matter of healing or just a matter of your finances, or it's the salvation of your family. It's your protection. It's living well and above the curse. Hallelujah. So it's important what we do with the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Look at 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. See, that's what we get through the Word of God. We find out what to lay aside. We find out what are weights, and we find out what causes us to move forward. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So that tells us that if we're going to be in this race, there are things that we need to lay aside. Not just sin, but negative talk, all kind of unbelief, walking out of love, which is sin to us, because that is our commandment to walk in love. And that it takes, we run this race with patience. Let us lay aside every weight and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You say, well, I don't really know how to walk in faith. Well, I've got good news. Jesus is the author and he's the finisher. And he does a good job. I'd never heard, the church I was raised in didn't believe in anything but water baptism. They did not give you any promise. There was no way. They didn't know about being born again. They didn't know anything except go to the river and be baptized. And then that was it for your whole life. But I married Ken, and his mother and father were believers, and they were Spirit-filled believers. And I never heard of anything. I don't even think I heard the word Pentecostal. I never heard full gospel. I mean, I was just a pitiful little child out in the wilderness. And I married Ken, and his mother and daddy were serious Christians. His mother was a serious prayer, and she was not glad that I came into the family, so she really, really prayed for me. I just wasn't what she had in mind for her only child. And so right off the bat, they invited us to a meeting, and these were back where, you know, there just wasn't much going on out there. And we invited to a Christian Medical Association meeting. We had been married only, well, less than a year. And so they were going to pay for our rooms, pay for everything. Well, I didn't even have any clothes to wear. I mean, A.W., Ken's dad, had to buy me an outfit or two to have something to wear to the meeting. We got down there, and it was a strong meeting. It was a meeting of Spirit-filled people. It was a Spirit-filled doctor and his wife that we knew, but we'd never been in a meeting of theirs. And I was filled with the Spirit just right at that time. I mean, I got born again and filled with the Spirit. I began to get a hunger for the Word, and I began to find out what belonged to me. Then, I mean, I didn't grow much because we didn't have any teaching. It's hard to grow in the Spirit without teaching. You can't grow. You can get born again, but it's hard to grow in a crusade that's set up to win people to the Lord. It's not set up to teach people. That's not the purpose of it. It's set up to win the lost. And so that's really all you learn about. But when you get into a church or into under a teacher that teaches you how to grow up, things begin to change. Hallelujah. And so I was born again right about that time, but it was because I was so desperate. Ken and I got married. We didn't have anything. We were in a little rent house, and we thought we were. Ken had a job opportunity. He took it, so we rented a house and this and that and the other. Well, we thought we were going to get rich, but you know, we didn't get rich. In fact, we were in a rented house, two or three bedroom. It's been so long, I hardly remember. House in a nice neighborhood. We rented it. We had no furniture. We had a rented rollaway bed that sunk in the middle, and it was. You could have this bed for $7.50 a month. It was no bargain. And we had a coffee table that Ken made in shop, a wrought iron coffee table that he made in shop in high school, you can imagine. And we had a black and white television. Of course, there weren't colored TVs in that time, but our picture was only this tall, but the set was this big. So we had a black and white picture that went all the way across the set about that tall. And we had no money. We had no refrigerator. We had no stove. We had to, I'm a very make-do person. I came from a poor background. And so I got a cardboard box when it got winter. Got a cardboard box, set it out on the porch, and that was our refrigerator, and we kept our food there. I'm telling you, it was sad. And we got in our bed every night, and we watched our little TV. And we ate out of our cardboard box on the porch. And I cooked in an electric skillet. So, 6 months after that, we were born again. I would say that was about the right length of time. And we began to learn some things. But then, we heard, after some time, we began to hear Brother Hagin teach on faith. And teach on the authority of the believer. Now, none of that, we had heard none of that. We just heard, you know, born again, do what's right, and so on. But we had not heard anything about how to live by faith. And at that time, Ken had felt impressed to go to ORU and start as a 30-year-old freshman there. And so we had moved to Tulsa. We still had just stuff, you know, early Goodwill stuff, but for furniture and what have you. But we lived in Tulsa, and so, shortly after that, you know how the Lord maneuvers you? It's just great, isn't it? He just puts you in the right place at the right time. Shortly after we moved to Tulsa, and we had old Goodwill furniture, old stuff nobody wanted, we had a little table that I'd painted, you know, a little round dining table that I painted. And we just had a bed, and, you know, we just were like the prophet's chamber in the Bible you read about, nothing much. And so we started going to hear Kenneth Hagin, and we found out there was so much that we didn't know. We found out about the Word, that whatever the Word says, that's the truth, that's the way it is. If you take it and believe it, that's faith. If you act on it in faith, it comes to pass in your life. And so we began to hear some truth. I'm telling you, it was good news. We grew fast. That year was the only year that Brother Hagin had, I think it was 3 or 4 10-day seminars. I think it was every quarter. I think he had 4 10-day seminars that year. And that was Bible school to us. I mean, we went every service. Of course, Ken was still going to school, so he had to miss some of the day services. But we... If it was icy and it was in Tulsa, you know, and it's icy, it gets cold and icy and you don't drive, We would drive anyway. We had to have the word. We had to get there to that meeting. We had to slip and slide all the way across Tulsa. So we were there, and he had 10-day seminars, and we went to several of those, and we learned about faith, and we learned other things, but primarily the thing that changed our life was just faith, how faith works. And it was so easy. We began to believe God for things. We began to release our faith. We began to stand on the Word and take with the Word of God what we needed in life. And it was not too long until we got out of debt. We got out of debt shortly. It didn't take too long. It probably seemed like a long time, but it really wasn't very long. And then after that, we went into the ministry. And the end of the story is here we are today. But we learned about faith. If we hadn't learned about faith and how to receive by faith and learned about patience, how to be patient while faith is working, I seriously doubt that we'd be here today. Because, you know, it takes money to get here. It takes money for a staff. It takes money to be in the ministry. And it takes money to go around the world. And we wouldn't have known how to do it. But we got faith. And we acted on it. And we believed it. And we're still walking by faith. All the things we've done in the ministry, because we were, by the time we went in the ministry, we were acting on faith. We received by faith. I wanted, you know, I was living in a little rent house. It was so bad when we went to Tulsa. It was so bad that I didn't unpack for a long time. And the paint was peeling off the walls, and it was a sad little place. That's where I was when we began to learn how to walk in faith. Well, the thing I wanted, being a woman, I know you women understand this. Men might like a new car, but women want a house. And I was believing for a house. And then at the same time, we found out to stay out of debt, to owe no man anything but to love him. Well, how are you going to get a house without debt? There we were. We kept believing. Ken wanted an airplane. I wanted a house. Not much changes, you know. And you know, we saw in the Word, right at the beginning, owe no man anything but to love him. Keep out the Amplified. If I hadn't had an Amplified Bible, I might have made it. But the Amplified Bible says, keep out of debt. And that was the Bible I was studying at the time. And so we said, okay, God says that. That's what we'll do. But we didn't know how to do it. And so we began to learn how to walk by faith, how to believe you receive when you pray. How to get faith by putting the Word of God in your eyes and in your ears, getting it in your heart. How to release faith by saying it out your mouth. I started believing for a house, and Ken started believing for an airplane. And, you know, that's the way we've lived all these years. We've wanted for nothing. And it's all been miraculous. We have done things without debt, buildings, houses, airplanes, cars, and it was by faith. It was without debt, but it wasn't without faith. It was without debt, but with faith. The Bible says, nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Glory to God. And I'm here to tell you it's true, and we're still living that way, and there's just nothing. I mean, if we had to have something, we'd just get to believe in God for it. We'd believe we receive it. We'd get our scriptures out. I had house scriptures. I had a list of house scriptures. I prayed every day over those house scriptures. Well, of course, that's been a long time ago. I've had several houses, but right now I've got the house I'm going to stay in forever until I leave here. And then you should see my house. Be sure and come see me in heaven. It'll be great, wonderful. Hallelujah. That's the way you live. Faith is a way of life. When you go into if you were a missionary going into a foreign country, let's just say you were going into the darkest part of Africa, they don't operate like you operated at home. You know, to fit in there, you'd have to learn how to operate like they operate. You might not like it, but you'd have to learn how to do it. Well, that's the way it is with faith. We learn how to operate with God, with faith in God instead of faith in the world system. How many of you know that I'm glad I'm not dependent on the world system today? See, the world system can crash. It's done that in the past, and it may do it again in the future. But they don't have what you have in the spiritual system of God. Why? Because our needs are answered by the power of God, not by the bank, not by investments. Investments are good if you keep them good. But how many know a lot of people are losing their investments today? You keep your heart and your mind centered on the Word of God for the things in your life. That would be for your health. Don't put your dependence on other things. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the doctor. I'm saying you depend on God and then go to the doctor if you want to. Really what we need to do and what's available to us is to live in divine health. Because Jesus bore the curse of every sickness and disease. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But he bore that curse already of sickness and disease. The same time he bore the curse of poverty. So we've been delivered from poverty with the same assurance that we were delivered from sickness and disease. Glory to God. By what Jesus did on the cross. Poverty is a curse. If you want to know what you're delivered from, look in the curse in Deuteronomy 28. And every bad thing you can think of is under that curse. And that in the same place is the blessing. And the scripture says that Jesus delivered us from the curse that the blessing could come upon us. That the blessing might come upon us. So we're delivered from every curse. Poverty, sickness, all kind of unhappiness and habits. Maybe you've got some bad habits today. Well, Jesus has borne that for you. You don't have to stay in. You don't have to stay on drugs. You don't have to stay on alcohol. Jesus has got something higher and better for you. You don't get it out of a bottle. You get it out of a book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find out what belongs to you, and then what do? Take it. Take it. You take it. Brother Hagin used to tell this story about this woman that was in his meeting. I think it was in one of the first churches that he preached. And she'd come to church. She'd say, "Take it, Jesus. Take it. Oh, take it, Lord. Take it. Take it, Jesus. Take that good old snuff away from me. Take it." Jesus didn't want her snuff. He wasn't going to come down and take the dip out of her mouth. And that's why some people pray. They want him to do it. You have to walk by faith. You have to receive, which is take it. You take the answer. You take the healing. You take the finances. You take the house with your faith. The car with your faith. The salvation of your children with your faith. Don't let the devil have your kids. Break the power of the devil over them and believe you receive their salvation. And believe God. Walk in love with them. Support them. Help them. And stand your ground. Devil, you're not getting my kids. You're not getting my kid. You're not getting my son. You're not getting my daughter. I break the power of the devil over him. And I believe I receive my salvation and his salvation and deliverance in the name of Jesus. We had to exercise more faith over John than anybody, but today he's a godly good man. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And the Lord, he's in favor of your child coming into the kingdom. But you let your faith loose on it. So in Hebrews, where was I going here? I got totally sidetracked. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1-2. Let's look kind of mid-verse again. Let us lay aside every weight. If things are holding you back spiritually, put them aside. Kick them out of your life. And the sin which so easily besets us. Got things in your life that are not right? You take the word of God in the name of Jesus and you dump it. Don't let sin stay in your life. You'll never be what you want to be. You'll never grow into what you want to grow into. You'll never have what you want to have. You say, well, a lot of rich people are sinners. Yeah, but they don't have those riches with peace. They don't enjoy life. Well, yeah, they do. They just party and party. Well, you don't see them when they're not partying. Sin is a killer. It drains you of life. So we lay aside the sin. Well, it's not just alcohol and drugs and robbing banks and killing people. For us, it's getting out of love. Our law is to walk in love. If we don't walk in love, we're not doing it right. We're breaking the commandment. Love one another. And we can totally control that. If you have people that have done you wrong and you're holding things against them, just forgive them in Jesus' name. Don't hold anything against anybody. Pray for those that use and persecute you, the scripture says. So we lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, he's not going to start something with you that he doesn't finish. I mean, we started just tiptoeing into faith there in Tulsa, just believing to have a decent place to live and, something to drive. And we tiptoed into faith. But he is the author, he is the beginner and the finisher of your faith. We've believed for all kind of things between then and now, and whatever it is, we know we can get it by faith. Healing, buildings, cars, whatever it is we need in the ministry, houses, get it by faith. But it takes some dedication. You have to stay on the Word of God. Stir up a hunger for the Word of God. Once you begin to learn faith and how exciting it is, it's easy to want to stay in the Word. It's easy. It's when you don't know anything and you know it's all dry and it doesn't mean anything to you that it's a chore. But the more you know, the freer you are, the happier you are, the more joy you have, the more your needs are met, and the more hunger you get for the Word of God. You wouldn't consider, after you've developed in walking by faith, normally you wouldn't consider going back. Because it's so far above just hoping things that happen and just depending on circumstances and whatever might come to pass and whatever somebody wants to do for you, that you don't want. Instead, you take authority over your life. You take authority over your money and you say, money, you come. How much? Well, however much you need. You take authority over your body and you say, sickness, you're not coming in this body in Jesus' name. Because why? Because I've learned that Jesus himself bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And by his stripes, I was healed. How come money comes? Because we've learned that my God liberally meets all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those are some of the first things we learned about him. He would meet our needs, hallelujah, glory to God. And then we found out he would meet our desires. If it was a right desire and we would act on his word, he would meet our desires according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Heaven's not broke, and neither are they in a tight fix where they can't help you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I were starting over today, I'd do exactly what we did. I'd believe to get out of debt. I'd take it. I mean, when Ken and I started believing to get out of debt, it was either be in debt and have something you needed, or be out of debt for a while and learn how to lay hold of things you need without credit. Which I'm telling you, there's no comparison, but it's available to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know we receive by faith. Look at Mark 11, the famous faith scripture. This is where we learn faith. And on this page in my Bible, these two pages, it's worn out. It's got writing all over it. You just so many notes. Because Ken and I were in debt, we had trouble paying. We had no good car, no good clothes, no good house. So when we heard this preached, it was good news to us. We heard Kenneth Hagin preach it. And in verse 22 of Mark 11, it's familiar scripture, but we're going to read it. Have faith in God. Do you see an option there? Did he say, have faith in God if you want to? Have faith in God if you need to? I mean, you may be sitting here today on a pile of money. That doesn't let you off the faith hook. You need faith. Money's just part of the answer to life. Have faith in God. Now, who said this? Jesus said it. Did he say, this is an option, you can have faith if you want to? No, he just said, have faith in God. For I tell you the truth, I say unto you, whosoever, who's the whosoever? That would be everybody, whether you held your hand up or not. Whosoever shall say. Now we've learned some things here. We've learned faith is God's will. We've learned it works for whosoever. You may be sitting there right now saying, well, it hadn't worked for me. That's because you haven't worked it. If Jesus said it works, it works. If he said whosoever, it's whosoever. That whosoever shall say. So we see right here how faith works. You've got to say it. And I have learned that it's what you say consistently that comes to pass. So if you say all morning, you say faith. All afternoon, you say unbelief. What are you doing? You're canceling yourself out. Canceling your morning words out. And the unbelief stands till you get on faith. You see how that works? So we learn. This is what we learned when we were in need a lot of things. We learn if we want to come out of this situation supernaturally, we're going to have to speak by faith. We have to say what we want to come to pass. And we learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Jesus said it. He learned it from Jesus. Brother Hagin learned it from Jesus. And it just says, have faith in God. Now, the margin of my Bible says even something better. It says, have the faith of God. Is that in the margin of your Bible? So actually what it's saying here is have the faith of God. What did God do with his faith? He created this earth. He created everything you see. He made it all work. Think about what it takes to make the world, this earth, work. For the sun to be in the right place. For the moon to be in the right place. For you to have air to breathe. For this earth to produce enough wealth to provide for all the people that live in it, plus, and never run out. Glory to God. I say unto you, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's you and me. I don't care who you are a whosoever. You say, yeah, but I haven't had any of that. Well, it's because you haven't done it right. And that's why you're here, to learn how to do. And while we all continue to get taught, because we want to keep it right. Once we learn it, we want to keep it right. And you cannot keep walking by faith without the Word of God coming in your eyes and in your ears. Even if at one time you were on strong faith, Now, your faith will get weak. You have to feed your faith like you feed your body food. If you were that consistent with faith, you'd be a strong spiritual giant today, because not many of us miss any meals. So he said, whosoever, Jesus said, I say this, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So doubt comes from unbelief. Doubt comes from listening to the devil. Doubt comes from listening to the world. The world is not in faith. A lot of people in the world are in faith, but the world as a whole just speaks what it sees. So if you just speak and believe what you see, you're not in faith. Because if you're in debt, that's what you see. If you're in sickness, that's what you see. Now you've got to learn a higher thing, a higher law, a higher system than sickness and disease. Or a higher system than poverty. And it is called the faith of God. Whosoever, anybody, it works for anybody, shall say, and he's already said, have faith in God. So Jesus said, have faith. Now, how are you going to argue with Jesus? You say, well, we don't believe that way at my church. Well, it could be you're in the wrong church, because Jesus said, have faith in God. Yeah, but I never have really believed all that stuff. Well, you're being disobedient and you're not believing and obeying Jesus. For verily I say, Jesus said, unto you that whosoever, that's you and me, shall say to this mountain, to the problem. We say something. We talk to the fig tree. That's how they learn this. Jesus said to the fig tree, because it didn't have any fruit on it, no man eat fruit again forever of you. He didn't say this crop, this year, this time. He said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. That fig tree didn't change at that moment that they were all going by, that you could see. And that's the way it is with faith a lot of times. You can't see what's going on underground. You can't see what's happening when you begin to speak by faith. You have to have faith and know that if I lay hold of this in faith, it's going to happen. Jesus said so. But it might be a day or two. It might be a week or two, depending on what it is. It might be, I don't know how long. It took me a good long while to do some things. But that was a money matter. Money matters takes more than one person normally. You don't usually believe God for money to buy a house, and then the next morning you look under your pillow and there it is. That'd be great though, wouldn't it? But that's not usually the way it is. But you're going to be doing something, you might as well be believing God. I mean, how long does it take to do without a house forever? Forever. It takes forever to do without a house forever. So if you started believing God and it took you a little while to get that house, and sometimes it's not a little while, but that's been my experience. Houses didn't come overnight. But that's just my experience. You might do better than me. But if you don't lay hold of it by faith or your healing, same thing's true of your healing. Your healing might not happen instantly. That's the way we like to have it. But when it doesn't happen instantly, what do? We keep believing God and we believe we're healed. And we keep saying, I have it, my healing. He himself, Jesus, bore my sickness and carried my diseases. By his stripes I was healed. We don't quit until every symptom's gone. It's not always instant in things or salvation of people. You may be believing for somebody's salvation and they get to looking worse. What do? You don't get moved. You're not moved. I believe I receive his salvation. I break the power of the devil over him, and I believe I receive his salvation. And it goes on for a month or two or six, and he just looks like he's getting worse. What do? Do you give up? No. You say, I believed I've received it. I have it. Now, that word receive is a great word. It's take it. It means to take. I've taken my healing. I've taken the salvation of my brother. I've taken it. See what you do? That's receiving it. The word, the Greek word there, receive, is to take. You take it when you pray. Take it when you pray. Don't leave anything on the table. Take it when you pray. Believe you receive it and stand on it, and it will come to pass. We have Jesus' word on it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is not for wimps and for lazy people, because it takes time in the word to get faith. You don't even have faith unless you have the word. You don't have anything to believe unless you have the word of God, or unless God spoke to you out of heaven, which doesn't happen very often. That whosoever shall say, this works for anybody. This works for the beggar on the street. It works for the king in the mansion, in the palace. It works for anybody. You have what you say. I say unto you, have faith in God. So that's not an option. We know it's God's will for us to believe him. Jesus said, for I'm telling you the truth, or verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, he was looking at a physical mountain. You say to this mountain, or you could say to the mountain in your life, the mountain in your finances, the mountain in your marriage, the mountain in your children, whatever that mountain is, the mountain of unemployment, the mountain of lack. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You say, yeah, but my problem is really big. I've had it for a long time. It's really big. Well, that was a mountain. Jesus was talking about a literal mountain. He said, this mountain. It wasn't a mountain in Colorado. It was a mountain where he was. Whoever would say to this mountain, if you can move a mountain with faith, and Jesus said you could, so we know you can, surely you can get a good job. Surely you can get the things that you need. Surely you can receive or take your healing. How do you take it? You base it on the word of God. You base it on what God's word says. You believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know, after you believe you receive, let's just say something simple, like a new car. Believing for a car. It's good to get exercise, but sometimes you need to walk further. You need to go further than you can walk. So cars are good. Nobody will argue with that. And you believe you receive a new car. And you believe, you ask for it, according to this scripture. And when you ask for it, when you ask the Lord for it, you believe you receive it. And that word means take. So you take it when you pray. You believe you receive it when you pray. You take it. Now you leave that place of prayer with that car. You don't come back the next day and say, I thank you, I'm asking you for my car. No, you've already asked for the car. You come back the next day and you said, thank you, Lord. I believed I received my new car. I thank you for that car. I have it. I have it. I have the car. I speak faith. I don't say, oh, I'm not going to get a new car. It's been 2 weeks and I don't have a car. God's not listening to me. He doesn't care about me. And you know, the devil starts feeding you that old unbelief. And the first thing you know, you're believing it. This says, you say it and you don't doubt in your heart. But you believe, he shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, when I was in Tulsa and we were in that little rent house and furnished in early Goodwill and no money. And the Lord showed me something. I was reading the scripture. We've been learning about Mark 11 from Brother Hagin, and I was reading this scripture, and I saw something that day, and it was that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I heard this, that in consistency lies the power. In consistency lies the power. I know that was a word from God. It helped me to get through the not receiving for a while part. Inconsistency lies the power, the consistency of your words, the consistency of your prayer life, the consistency of your saying the same thing and not the opposite. In consistency lies the power. He shall not doubt, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I'm supposed to believe, according to that scripture, that the things I have asked for and believe God for will come to pass. I'm not supposed to give up and quit. That's faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he said, believe those things. You say it. Brother Hagin had a message. You can have what you say. I think Ken and I preached that a whole lot ourselves. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. But that one message of his got through to me. If I want it, I have to say it. Not just in church, not just when I pray, but I have to say those words out my mouth. Consistently say that until it comes to pass. Say it. Keep saying it. Don't say anything different than what you pray. Yeah, but you know it's been 6 months. Don't say anything different than what you prayed based on the Word of God. If you say anything different, you're going against the scripture and you're doubting in your heart and it's coming out your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're going to stay in faith, you keep talking faith. You keep talking, I have it. You keep saying, Lord, thank you for my house. Thank you for my healing, Lord. Thank you that I am healed. I'm healed by your stripes. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. You have a pain, you have a symptom. You said, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Glory to God. In the same way with things. You've been believing for a house. You stay on that. If you took the word of God, you asked Jesus for it, you believed you received it when you pray. Right now, from now until you're in that house, you must act like you've received it. You must talk like you've received it. I have received it. I thank you, Lord, for my house. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my house. Thank you. The devil says you're never going to get a house. You just dump him and cast him out and refuse to talk after him. And you say, Lord, I just want you to know that I have confidence in you. I believe I've received that house. I have it now in Jesus' name. I have it. 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 Satan says, you don't have it. You don't have it. You're not going to get it. It'll never happen. Never happen. Never happen. You say, I have it. I believed I've received it. It should be too late for Satan when he comes to combat you over that house. Because you believed you received it. Same thing is true with your healing. You believe you receive it. When you pray, you take it. You take it and you say it. I have my healing. I am healed by his stripes. I am healed. I am healed. You have a pain. You say, I am healed. You have a symptom. You say, I am healed. Glory to God. I've taken healing. I am healed. Satan's trying to get your words so he can get authority over you again in that area. But you say, no. No. What does the Bible say to do about the devil? It says to resist him. And he will flee. Now, if the Bible says resist him, you might as well figure out that you're not going to get to roll over and play dead when he comes to talk to you. Or if you're going to begin to say what he says, it's never going to come to pass what you're believing for. So when what is he? He's a liar. Doesn't the Bible teach us he's a liar and there's no truth in him? If the devil told you you're not going to get it and he's a liar, guess what? That leaves you getting it. If there's no truth in him, every word he says to you is a lie. Every negative word he says, you're going to die with this sickness and disease. You're never going to have this. Your kids are going to hell. Whatever it is. What does the Bible say? Resist him and he'll flee. How come he flees? Because he has no ground to stand on. He's a defeated foe. And when we say in the name of Jesus, Satan, shut your mouth, get out of here. I'm not listening to that anymore. Go! He has to go. if you say the name, go in the name of Jesus. Think about the authority that we have to use that name. We can use the name of Jesus. That's awesome. We can use His name in this situation where any kind of thing is concerned, the curse, the blessing. You believe for a blessing? Believe for it in the name of Jesus. I believe I receive this blessing. That's authority. That's power. That carries weight in the spirit world, in the natural realm, in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's ours. Why? We're born of Him. We're in that covenant. He's our Lord and Savior. He said, Gloria, you can use my name. Hallelujah. He said, you can use your name, whatever. You can use His name, whatever your name is. Isn't that awesome? I think I'm preaching to myself today. This is getting me excited. He shall not blame. Now, here is an impossible thing. You cannot in the natural cast a mountain into the sea. But apparently you can in the supernatural. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So this would represent anything in your life, that mountain, that problem, that situation that looms up before you. Any impossible, huge, amazing, bad thing in your life, you can get it out. You can cast it into the sea. Or in other words, you can get it out there where it's totally gone from you, covered up, never see it again. When you cast something into the sea, it's there, hallelujah, unless you go get it. So, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. This is the problem. Problem, be removed. Sickness, be removed. Doubt, get out of my mind. Lack, get off of me. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart. Now, that means that you stay in faith. You don't wait for a day or two and nothing happened, and then you still have symptoms of sickness, and then you begin to talk sickness and disease. No. You stay in faith. I'm not doubting. I've said it. I've done what Jesus said. I have faith in God. I said to the sickness. I said to the poverty. I said to the situation. And I'm not doubting in my heart. Satan says, you'll never get it. It's impossible. But the Bible says the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So there's not anything, when you know what the Bible says, there's not anything that can keep you from receiving what you believed you received. As long as it's according to the Word of God. Now look at this. You shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things, what things? Any things which He saith, the things that I say, I have to believe that the things that I say come to pass. So if I really believe the things that I say come to pass, I'm not going to be saying any unbelief. I'm not going to be talking negative. I'm not going to be confessing things are not going to work for me. I'm not going to do that because I've already believed, according to Jesus' word, that those things which I say come to pass. I'm going to say continually, all the time, regardless of what I see, I'm going to say what I want to come to pass based on the Word of God. I'm going to say healing and health. I'm going to say prosperity. I'm going to say peace. I'm going to say good things about the future, my life. I'm going to say, fear, you don't come in here in the name of Jesus. I'm not afraid. I believe God. And I'm going to cast fear out because that's what the Bible says for us to do. I'm going to cast Satan out. I'm not going to listen to him. In my name, in his name, the scripture says, we have authority over the devil. That's all the devils. Hallelujah. So I don't doubt in my heart. I believe that those things which I say come to pass. And Jesus said, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I, Gloria, is going to get whatsoever I say. you are going to get whatever you say. Now, you get whatever you say whether you're operating by faith or not. You know, people that talk unbelief, negative, and poverty, and curse all the time, they're going to get that. I mean, they might not say, I'm believing for the curse today, hallelujah. But if they talk the curse, and they say the curse is coming, I'm going to lose my savings, I'm going to go down the drain, I'm not going to have enough money to live out my life, that's what's going to happen in your life. You're saying curse of sickness, come on in. Curse of poverty, come on in. That's awesome, isn't it? You have authority. Your words have authority. For good or for bad. So if you've got much smart, you'll do it for good. And never, ever say things against yourself. Never say, I'm sick. Well, what if you go to the doctor? Well, you'll have to believe God for some wisdom there. Or if Ken and I, or one of us has a symptom, he doesn't say, Gloria, I'm sick, come pray for me. He says, agree with me that so-and-so is gone. Or however we handle it in faith. We never say, I'm sick. We never say, I'm broke. We never say, I'm scared. Because fear's of the devil. Therefore, I say, Jesus said, what things soever. Man, that covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? What things soever, what things in this life, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you take them. That's what that Greek word means, is to receive, is to take. When you pray, and this helped me a lot, when you pray, take it. When you pray for healing, take it. I receive my healing. When you pray for a new job, take it. I believe I received the best job I've ever had. I believe I receive my job, Jesus, that you've got for me. I receive it. I take it. But when I took it, what happens? I have it. And now I'm not going to go around talking about, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't seem to find a job. No, you didn't take it. If you took it, you'd say, I have it. You see the difference? And so that's how you stay in faith. Now, you can't stay in faith and watch cartoons 24 hours a day. To stay in faith, it takes the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ken and I, when we first began to learn, we weren't really sick, but we were in debt, and we had nothing, and we needed everything, and we began to hear Brother Hagin's tapes. Tapes. I'm talking about tapes. I'm not talking about cassettes. I'm not talking about CDs, DVDs. I'm talking about tapes. Old-fashioned tapes. And boy, that was the cutting edge back there then. And we got the, you can have what you say. I mean, based on Mark 11. That tape on you can have what you say. It was on a reel this big. Think about how far we've come. It was on a reel this big. You can have what you say. We listened to that. And we figured this out. You can have what you say. And we started saying, not saying what we have. We don't want what we have. We want what we say. We want what we desire. So we begin to speak the words that we want to come to pass. And we begin to receive in the natural. We receive the things we needed. We begin to increase. And that's still the way we operate today. If I were going to believe for something today, I would believe I receive. I'd ask the Lord for it. I'd believe I received it when I pray. I'd thank Him for it. I believe I received it. I'd go from that place of prayer talking, I have it. I have it. How come I have it? I can't drive it. I can't wear it. But I have it. How do I have it? I have it by faith. That's the way faith works. How do I have my feeling, my healing, even though I still might feel something in my body? I've taken it by faith. I've taken it by faith. When we have healing school tomorrow, if you want to be well, when we preach the word, you take it, you believe you receive your healing, and you leave this place with it, saying, I am healed. When somebody asks you how you're doing, say, I believe I received my healing. I believe I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Tell yourself, when you have, if you had a pain later than that, after you pray, you have a symptom come up, what do? You say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I have received my healing. Don't come off your word of faith. And you can receive anything. It's not always instant, but it's always receivable if you'll stay with it. What? Everything. What thing soever you desire when you pray. You need a good wife? Believe for one. Not if you've already got one. Believe for the one you've got to be a good wife. You whatever you need, Lord. I mean, you may be eligible. An eligible bachelor. You may be a woman that's not married, looking for a husband. What do? You believe you receive. Lord, I thank you for my perfect mate. I believe I receive your will for me. I believe I receive. What am I doing? I take the person that you've prepared for me. I take the mate. By faith, I take it. I believe I receive it. Thank you for bringing it to pass. Reveal to me the things I need to know about it, as I need to know it, in Jesus' name. What do? You roll the care of it over on the Lord. And then from then on, you say, I have it. I have believed, I received. I have it, I've received the perfect mate for me. I thank you for it, Lord. And the devil says, you're never going to find anybody that wants you. Say, get out, devil. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Anything that comes against what we're believing for is not from God, it's from the devil. And we have to say, no, don't say that to me. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You shut your mouth. Never listen to the devil about anything. If he starts telling you nobody loves you and this person doesn't like you and you know, it's because you're so mean and all this and that and other, just say, Satan, I rebuke you. In Jesus' name, I'm not having that. Get out of my sight. In the name of Jesus, he'll have to go. But if you let him hang around and you begin to think, nobody loves me. Nobody's ever going to want to marry me. I'll never have a husband. Where do you get such a dumb idea as that? From the devil. If it kills, if it steals, if it destroys, if it discourages, if it lies, it's from the devil. And he is a good liar. One thing you can say about him, he is a good liar. He's had a lot of practice. But when you know what the Bible says, you know not to listen to him. You know, pretty soon, I'm telling you the truth, he'll get to where he doesn't even want to talk to you anymore. You are no fun for him when you don't listen and you just resist him and resist him and resist him. And he never gets anywhere with you, he'll go somewhere else. But then he may come back. And what do? You resist him. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That doesn't mean that you listen to him, that you think about what he says, that you let him talk to you until you get sad and you know, nobody loves me and this is true, and I my mother died young, and I'm going to die young, and whatever other kind of baloney he can come up with. That's the nicest word I can say about it. You learn where those things come from. And if it's against healing, if it's against divine health, if it's against being prosperous, if it's against being peaceful, if it's against having your needs met, if it's against having your desires, your godly desires met, it's not from God. It's from our enemy, the devil, Satan. What are we supposed to do with him? We're supposed to resist him. The Bible says, give him no place. No place. That means no place in your thinking. That means the moment that some lie comes across your thinking that's opposite of the Word, opposite of what you're believing for, opposite of righteousness, you resist it. You cast him out. You say, no, you don't. I rebuke you. Satan, shut your mouth. Don't talk to me. And you know what? He'll have to go away. He might come back sometime, but just keep resisting. He'll get to where he doesn't even talk to you. If you'll get to where you don't ever do what he says, he'll get tired of you and go to somebody else. That's the truth. That's the truth. You get so centered in on the Word of God that you don't receive anything that's opposite of what the Word says. You don't receive any symptom of sickness, any symptom of lack. Lack is under the curse. Poverty is under the curse. Sickness is under the curse. Sadness, depression. Depression's not from God. Heaven is a happy place. If depression were from God, everybody up there would be depressed. Nobody's depressed in heaven. And nobody, no believer ought to ever be depressed in the earth. Yeah, but you just don't know what problems I've got. I know this. I know that if you will go to God in faith, believing, and believe you receive when you pray, and you take it, you can get rid of that problem. Well, the doctor said it's incurable. Well, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe Jesus or the doctor? In the natural, it might be incurable. But you're not in the natural. You're supernatural. You're supernatural. Your newborn spirit, your new creation spirit is not normal. So when people think you're not normal, that's normal. Hallelujah. Your new creation spirit has been what? Born over again. You're not the same person you used to be. I'm not the same person I used to be. I've been born again. If I were going to stay the same, there'd be no point in me being born again. But we don't stay the same. I mean, we had sin on the inside of us. We got born again, and now we are the righteousness of God, the Scripture says. And our new spirit is connected to God, indwelt by, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, you're going backwards. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. And be empowered. That's something that happens to you after you get born again. He's with you when you get born again. But when you receive the Spirit of God to live on the inside of you and teach you, things are so much easier. Things change. You can go to heaven without that, but it won't be as much fun in the earth while you're here. The Bible says this about the Holy Spirit. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Now, all of a sudden, you might have been just a weak vessel, a weak sister. You might have just been a weak vessel. But when you got born again, you were changed on the inside, made the righteousness of God. And when you received the Holy Spirit, you became empowered with God. Glory to God. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I changed. My life changed so much after I received the Holy Spirit. But yet still, I had to grow up, and I'm still growing, but to grow up, I had to get into the Word of God and find out the truth. But the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the truth. See how all these things work for us? See how Satan doesn't have a chance? He's a dark spirit. He's been cast out of the presence of God. He doesn't own anything. He's the thief. He has to steal everything he's got. And he wants to run your life. I'm not going to let him run my life. I'm not going to live in doubt and fear and unbelief and lack and sickness and all the bad things that are under the curse. Not when Jesus himself bore the curse for me. That I might be made the righteousness of God. I'm a made woman, hallelujah. I've been made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Father, we do love you today. We take your word. We set ourselves to walk by faith and not by sight. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Faith takes it. Faith receives it, which means to take. And if you want to look that up, that's Young's commentary says that. It means to take. Faith takes. Faith possesses. In other words, faith keeps it. It takes it. It keeps it. How do you keep healing? By faith. How do you keep prosperity? By faith. You keep it by faith. Hallelujah. Faith speaks. Faith has to talk. You can't talk unbelief and walk by faith. Faith has to talk. You have to say right things according to what God says. The things that you say have to be according to Scripture. Faith says what God says. It doesn't say sickness. It doesn't take unbelief. It doesn't take sickness. It doesn't take poverty. It doesn't say we're going broke. It says God will meet our needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? And believe you receive it when you pray, and you shall have them. So we take it, we keep it, we say it. What do we say? We say what we're believing for. What do we not say? If we don't want it, we don't say it, because we get what we say. And when you stand praying, forgive. This is another key to your faith working. This is all part of the faith teaching. Jesus himself said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I know what they're doing to you now. They're keeping you from receiving. If you want to just dump them, well, forgive them. Lord, I forgive that person. I'm not letting that come in me, unforgiveness come in my life. I'm not saying it anymore. I forgive them. I ask you to bless them and forgive them. Forgive if you have aught against any. Well, yeah, but they did something bad. That says if you have aught. Yeah, but you don't know. They were my relatives. It says any. Glory to God. So that means relatives, enemies. That means enemies, friends, any. And when you stand praying, you can't stand long, so it doesn't take long to forgive. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So according to Jesus, we forgive for our own sake. It's a key to your receiving. Yeah, but they were so mean. They were so bad. They stole this. They did this. They did that. Forgive. If you have aught against any, so that you can go free. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the word. We take it today. We set ourselves to walk by faith and not by sight, to say what you say, to believe we receive. When we pray, to take our healing, our forgiveness, to forgive ourselves, to forgive others. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us the things that we need to know and do. And we set ourselves to walk by faith. We learn to believe we receive it when we pray, and we take it, we have it, we say it until it's manifest in our lives. And we give you praise for every good thing that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Say, I take it. I have it. I give God praise for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.